Track 10. What's the story? Agriculture has always been tremendously important in our county, and Wyndham Museum has an extremely interesting agricultural display. Neil has inside knowledge of the place, and here he is to tell us about it.
If you venture south of Norwich via the old Heatherset Road, or the newish A11, you will find the old market town of Wyndham. A resplendent market cross adorns the centre of the town, an ancient wooden building in a hexagonal shape, raised on legs above a sitting area for hungry villagers. Big Fry Chip Shop is just across the road. With the co-op to your left, you walk up Bridewell Street and cross the road to be stopped in your path by the formidable sight of the Bridewell itself. An austere house of correction, court and jail, it now houses the Wyndham Heritage Museum. The exhibition I'm going to talk about concerns Norfolk and agriculture. After all, what would Norfolk be without its farmlands and the rich heritage of the land being worked for millennia? There is evidence that much of Norfolk has been intensively farmed from the last Iron Age onwards, so it is not surprising that agriculture has always been a major influence on the life and times of the townsfolk of Wyndham. The display reflects the area's rich agricultural heritage with artefacts from the farming of yesteryear. Some of them have, of course, scratched heads as visitors work out what these implements and tools were used for. A feature of the display are the memories of Percy Corbould, who kept diaries on his life as a worker on a farm at Browick, just outside Wyndham. His diaries reveal how hard life was for a farm worker in the 1940s, working a six-day week with only 2 weeks' holiday. The working day was long and consisted of hard manual labour, and the work was mainly outside in all weathers all year round. The farm where Percy worked covered several miles from the Heatherset Road in Wyndham to Silfield and Spooner Row. Much of the land he worked on has since been taken up for the construction of the A11 and more recently for housing development. The barns where he would have cared for animals have been converted into homes. Mechanisation was beginning to enter the world of farming, but jobs driving tractors were specialised, so for Percy, horses remained the main source of power. Percy's son, Stephen Corbould, said, "There was no mechanisation then, no tractors, just horse and cart. What takes 2 hours to do a field these days took 3 or 4 days then. He always had something to do, stone picking, ditching." The single day off each week was vital for farm workers in order to ease the aches and pains, and Percy spent his free time going to the cinema and playing and watching football and darts. He went to Norwich Speedway and they would cycle to Yarmouth for a night out. Percy passed away in 2001, but through his diaries, the display gives visitors a fascinating insight into the life of the farm worker of yesteryear. In his diaries, Percy Corbould recorded his farming year month by month. It illustrates how labour-intensive farming was. These are just a few of his tasks. January. Threshing hay and straw, cutting kale and topping sugar beet for animal feed, carting muck from the animal houses. February. Clearing wood and straw from the fields, trimming hedges and ditches, carting lime. March. Restocking hay, straw and animal feed, muck carting from the cow barns. April, filling the water tanks in the meadows, digging gardens to plant vegetables. May, hoeing sugar beet and peas, moving calves between cow barns. And June, hoeing sugar beet and chopping out mangoes, turning hay. July, working on hay and straw stacks, hoeing kale and carting hay and straw. August, stocking up linseed and wheat, lumping and carting peas, carting flax and muck. September, trimming hedges and ditches, turning and cutting barley and peas. October, cutting and carting kale, carting muck, loading hay and straw for cows. And November, harrowing, driving muck spreader, topping mangoes and sugar beet. And finally December, riddling potatoes and loading onto lorries, covering sugar beet, loading hay, straw, pulp, kale and beet. Here's a potted history of how agriculture has influenced life in the town. King John gave the town its first market charter in 1204, although it is probable that a market was held earlier. The Market Cross, which was rebuilt in 1617 after the disastrous town fire of 1615 destroyed the original, is still a major landmark standing in the centre of the town. In the 16th century, the enclosure of common land that affected the livelihood of small farmers drove Robert Kett to lead a rebellion in 1549 that threatened to overthrow King Edward VI before it was ruthlessly crushed. By the 16th century, huge numbers of sheep were kept for wool, and weaving was an important industry in the town. It flourished between the 1740s and 1830s when, for a time, more people were employed in weaving than in any other industry. In the 19th century, there were three weaving factories in Wyndham, but the Industrial Revolution spelt ruin for the town's weavers, and all the factories had closed by the early 20th century. In the late 18th century, Randall Burroughs lived and farmed at Browick Hall. He is well known for keeping a farming journal in which he recorded his farming system of integrating animal and arable husbandry. In addition to farming, the town also had a major seed grower and plant nursery started by Charles Samuel Daniels in the early 1900s. The site of the nursery covered 13 acres between Barnum Broom Road and Melton Road. It closed in 1971 and the land was sold for housing. The original sign for the nursery forms part of this display.
Thank you, Neil. That's certainly a reminder of the times when farming life was dictated by the months and the seasons, not to mention the weather. And of course, for today's farmers, that is still the case, despite all the modern machinery and new methods of growing crops and raising animals.